You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you friendly Force users out there. This is Ian from Echo Station Podcast. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello.
And today is a super duper long episode. We are combining the final two arcs in the Clone Wars, the Spice Girls arc, as it has been lovingly dubbed on the interwebs, and then the Siege of Mandalore arc. This first part is going to be us talking about, obviously, the Spice Girls arc, and then the last part is going to be us talking about the Siege of Mandalore series finale, emotion, and hope. And by that time as well, we'll kind of get some stuff from May the 4th. So we might talk about some of the stuff we saw during May the 4th day, which is, of course, Star Wars Day.
Yay.
But news-wise, not a whole lot has happened, except for Battlefront 2. The devs announced that the Scarif update, as they called it, would be their last update of the game.
I need to get that.
Which is sad.
I know. You know,
but, like, there's so much more you could do.
Yeah, for all the issues people had with this game, it is really a great game.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they really stepped up to the plate and said, okay, well, we got to make a better game here.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
With all the content that they released.
Yeah.
So the Scarif map is absolutely beautiful. There's also new skins from Rise of Skywalker. There's Rey with her yellow lightsaber.
Yay.
Rey with her hood up. The Emperor Reborn in his, like, red and black cloak. And then Kylo with his hood up as well. And they also threw in a Darth Maul Rebels skin as well.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that's fun. But they said that they're going to be monitoring the servers, maybe throwing a little update here and there out there, but, like, big content-wise, this was our last one.
We're done, yeah.
So now they can go on to Battlefront 3!
Hey!
And put all the characters that they should have put in the game, like Ahsoka and Ventress and, like, Cad Bane and, you know, so many people!
A Battlefront Ahsoka arc would be incredible.
Yeah.
Just to be able, like, to play as Ahsoka?
They done messed up, so...
Yeah. That said, the original story that went along with Battlefront 2 was quite compelling.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But, yeah, they really shot themselves in the foot by not adding in a bunch of these iconic Clone Wars characters.
Yeah. It would be nice to get a Battlefront-focused, or a Clone Wars-focused Battlefront.
Oh, just like the Clone Wars? Like, no other trilogies, or no other eras?
Yeah, well, to be mainly focused on that.
I think that would be actually very fun.
Yeah. Hear that, guys?
I would not be mad at that.
Clone Wars Battlefront. The people want it.
Yes. We're going to do, you know, a lot of the sequel stuff. No, we got it. The sequel stuff was cool, but we want Clone Wars. That's where the wars actually was.
Yep.
It was a good war, damn it. Let us play it. Plus, they had the better characters, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's whatever.
It is what it is.
And then I also got the Topps Women of Star Wars 2020 hobby box. I have bought, today, I bought another
as
one.
As of today.
So, as of today, I have purchased three of them. The first one was opened for me by Titan Cards and Games. They're a company based in Florida, and so they have a deal where if you purchase it and you purchase... let them open it online, basically, on a YouTube channel. They sent it to you for free. Free shipping, excuse me, not actually free.
Yeah.
So they sent it to you, and, you know, they open it online, and so it's free shipping, which is great. So I got, in that break, I got a Jamie King Aura Sing numbered autograph.
It's very cool.
Yeah. So I was very happy with that one, and then I opened the one that I bought here, at my house, and I bought it, or I opened it up. I got some good cards, and then I got a character from Canto Bight named Margot, so I got her autograph.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So that video, actually both those unboxing videos are up on our on the Twitter. So follow us at Echo Station Cast, and you can look at all those videos and all the stuff we tweet about, which is derpy stuff.
Decide if you want to purchase your own. It's pretty cool.
It's good. Mine retailed, I think, for around $50. So depending on what autograph you get, it will pay for the box and then some.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I personally recommend them. I like them. They're fun. They're cute. They have really nice designs. And, I mean, it's 2020. It's the women of Star Wars, so you're supporting women.
Yep.
That's called feminism.
Future is female.
Yes. But today, like I said, we're talking about both the Clone Wars arcs, and we're going to start with the Spice Girls arc.
Spice World.
Yes. They showed a bunch of these really rough animatics back a few celebrations ago, or Disney weekends ago. It was a while back.
Yep.
And a lot of stuff changed in this episode. For example, Trace wasn't a girl. She was a guy at first.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty ambiguous name, so it works.
Yeah. And, you know, Ahsoka was going to have, like, a little boyfriend in that arc, and that didn't work out.
Well, I prefer it this way.
I do, too.
I think that Ahsoka has a very powerful female energy, and I like that her arcs are very female-focused, you know, whether she's teamed up with Barriss or with Ventress, you know, it's a very female-centric line.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of the Star Wars fanboys were really pissed about. They're like, no more females in Star Wars. It's like,
oh, jeez.
Like, these aren't force wielders. They're not bounty hunters. They're just, like, two mechanics. So, like, shut up.
Yeah, get over it.
It's ridiculous. But these arcs did gain a good amount of flack online.
Yeah.
Like, a good amount of flack to where a lot of, like, the animators and stuff were taking notice and, like, retweeting saying this is not okay.
I see what they were doing. I get what they were doing.
Right.
It was just, and this is aside from the, you know, the quality of the animation, it was boring.
Yeah.
It was, you know, been there, done that. Very, very tropey. We've seen this before.
Well, and when you take a season like Clone Wars, and it's going to be supposedly the final season, I hope it really is, and hope they're just lying to us, that, you know, you have these, like, 12 episodes to tell these great Clone Wars stories, but then you end up with these four?
Yeah. And, you know, if we had... exactly what you're saying. If we had a promise of more episodes, it would be fine, because these episodes did a fantastic job of world building.
For sure.
We got to see more of Coruscant's lower levels. We got to see Kessel.
Yeah, a beautiful side of Kessel, too, mind you.
Very, very cool. Yeah, very, very cool world building to Kessel. But I feel like the whole naive underdog rapscallion thing is such a predictable Star Wars trope that it almost starts to grate on me.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, you know, I will say I much rather preferred Rafa over Trace.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Trace was super annoying.
Not only because Rafa had a really cool coat, but because, yeah, I didn't, Trace, I did not like her.
Their designs were super cool. They looked really cool.
Oh, yeah, and they were really beautifully animated and, you know, acted. They were acted very well, too, but
yeah.
I did not like Trace.
No, I did. She just,
as soon as she dumped the spice, I was like, this fucking bitch.
Right? Like, I get that you're young and inexperienced, but that is the dumbest. How do you grow up in the underbelly of Coruscant and think that that was a smart thing to do?
Yeah, it's...
How can you possibly be that naive? I have issues. I have issues.
It's rough.
I wanted to like it, but... And I did like parts of it. The Pike family
The Syndicate was cool.
The Pike criminals were really cool. The seeing more of the Syndicate was super cool. We got some more Twi'lek dudes.
Yes. And, I mean, it was definitely, growth for Ahsoka. That's not, I get why, they said they had to have it because, it makes her grow as a person. And, there is groundwork laid for, obviously, the Siege of Mandalore stuff.
Yeah. And we had to get Ahsoka back around. Like, we had to do a 180 with her somehow.
And I just, like I said, like, if you're going to, do this kind of thing, like I said, I've had like a 22 episode season, this would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like, this would have been a perfect, way to split things up and, have maybe two episodes in between the Mandalore arc and this one and call it good. That being said, Dave has a plan.
Yeah.
And I now, with these final episodes airing and us watching back, I see why he did it.
Yeah, I mean, the Martez sisters were used as a vehicle to represent, like, everything that Ahsoka had been feeling about the Jedi Council.
And, oh, like, for sure, yes. Here
were the actual, real-world, tangible evidence of what was wrong with the Jedi Council. Right here. And so I understand that, narratively. I definitely understand that. The execution was meh. It was a little meh.
I didn't like it all that much. Could it have been, three episodes long? Oh, for sure. But, when people first, obviously knew the Siege of Mandalore was coming back, they wanted that to be, like, the whole entire season, basically.
Yeah.
And as cool as that would be, you don't have that. You couldn't do the Siege of Mandalore in 12 episodes. It's a, you can maybe do it in 5 or 6, but not 12. That's a lot of content to cover.
I don't even know if my heart could take all that.
No, it's no. So it's, I get why people wanted the Siege of Mandalore arc because it's very important, not only to Ahsoka, but to Maul and to Rex and to the, future of Star Wars, basically. But you gotta, take baby steps to get there.
Mm-hmm.
We may have taken a little too many steps with this particular arc, but we still took some steps.
Yeah.
So let's run through this arc a little bit. So Ahsoka is now living in the underworld of Coruscant.
Yep.
And she, is having a crappy speeder, and she just, like, crashes in this, dry dock, basically, and is like, hey, sorry. And I just, it's a perfect thing for Ahsoka to do because, of course, she meets, these new people, but it's like, what are you doing in the underworld of Coruscant? You couldn't, like, find somewhere better to live?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, what the hell?
Does she have any money? I mean, are the Jedi, like, priest, do they have any material possessions and money? Maybe she just was out of luck. Like, what's she gonna
do? That's true, maybe.
maybe she just couldn't get off world.
That's also true. But so, she meets Trace, and Trace, of course, is this young, naive little girl makes deals with the very wrong people and pisses people off left and right, and just, I kind of see her as, like, kind of the Jar Jar of that season.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And I know that's really bad. I'm probably going to get so much flack for that, but I can just see that.
Yeah. We understand what you were trying to do here, but the execution wasn't great.
Yeah. So, I do admit I love Ahsoka's little, like, flight suit that she has.
Oh, so cute.
It's very cute. I quite enjoy that. And this is the first time we see Ahsoka since season 5. Yeah. So, new character model, new headpiece, longer head tails.
More mature.
So, what did you think of her new look?
I love it. I really like the progression of seeing Ahsoka age. It's really interesting because you don't get to see that in animated series very often.
Right.
So, I mean, and we've seen Ahsoka, we see Ahsoka pretty much her entire lifetime. It's very interesting to watch. I think she's super cute looking. I love it. I love the maturity in her face. It's a beautiful character design.
So, and can we all agree? Because, like, the Clone Wars did not happen in 3 years. It had to happen in 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a 3-year war.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
This is, because Ahsoka was, like, 13 when she first made her appearance in season one. And now they say she's, like, 17. That's not 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, just saying. Just as a little side note.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was 3 years. I think it's wrong. And that should be retconned.
Like, time is very wibbly wobbly, timey wimey when it comes to Star Wars too.
Yeah, but I'm like, this is not three. This is way more than three, folks. Learn how to count, damn it.
Even with Anakin and Padme, it's like, was that really just 3 years?
Right? Like, really? Yeah. It's, I don't believe it for an instant, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't, it's just, this episode, these arcs just kind of didn't make me so happy, so I'm having a hard time talking about them.
I know. I was bored. Like I said earlier, I was bored. Like, I had a hard time not looking down at my phone. I was taking notes, too, so that, you know, that's one thing. But it didn't, with the last three episodes, I was like, standing in front of the television the whole time.
Oh, for sure. Do you think that's because they had characters that, you know, we knew, like Bo-Katan and Maul and, you know, Rex and Ahsoka? Is that, do you think why, or do you think...
I think the writing was just better. The dialogue was better. It was more interesting. Yeah. It was more compelling. It wasn't so childish, you know. I mean, the Spice Girls arc felt very much like I'm watching a children's television program.
Yes. Okay. Agreed.
Whereas the last episodes... Like, we're like, ooh, I don't even know if I want my children to watch this because this is
heavy. Yeah, it's rough. So, you know, after basically they find out, you know, we find out that Ahsoka and Rafa and Trace, they got a race, Rafa has a job for them. So they finally get to leave off world. And I actually think we get one of the coolest moments in this season. Which is, did you notice a little callback to Return of the Jedi?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Anakin sensed it was her.
Yeah.
He knew it was her. That's why he let him go.
It was very sweet.
Yeah, like, he knew it was...
No, he absolutely knew it was her.
Yeah. But I absolutely love that callback, because the way it was framed, the way it was shot, you know, everything, I'm like, this looks very familiar, and then I'm like, oh, this is dialogue from Jedi. Oh, this is, I can see where this is going.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, later, there was a Twilight guy that really reminded me of Bib Fortuna.
Oh, the one, like, the administrator person or whatever?
So I felt like that was another kind of Return of the Jedi callback.
Oh, for sure. So what do you think of what did you think of Kessel?
Oh, he's so pretty. Like, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Like, you don't know it has, like, lush green forest and shit. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. This isn't Kessel.
It was nice. Well, and it was nice to see. You know what it reminded me of? It was very much like, here is this beautiful South American gorgeous jungle villa. And then if you go a few kilometers out of the way, there's a bunch of slave labor.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
Yeah.
That's a very funny comparison. I didn't think about that. That's very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the designs for these places and the music for this episode and everything was great, but it just lacked a lot. So, like, forgive us if we're kind of just dead in the water here with this arc, but we just didn't like it that much.
It's hard to wrestle with sometimes that this is a cartoon, that it is meant to be a children's focused animated series.
Yes.
Because there are so many arcs and there's so many episodes that are really, really heavy and really, really dark. And it gives the series almost like a bipolar kind of personality.
I can see that. Yeah,
it's so heavily weighted to one side of that gamut versus the other.
Right. So what did you think of the Pikes and the Obadiah?
I loved them. They were super cool. Like, they looked really cool.
We saw them briefly in season, I believe, 6 of Clone Wars. They were considered the Lost Transmissions, where Master Sifo-Dyas has turned out to be alive, and they're keeping him prisoner, and so...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we see the Pikes in that aspect, but we didn't really get to see him a whole lot. We saw one in Solo, who was, like, the administrator of the Kessel, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But the Pikes are very interesting.
There's a few Solo callbacks in, like, the last few episodes of...
Oh, for sure. They're still trying to hang on to that Solo stuff, and God love them.
Hey, I enjoyed Solo, and I always will.
Oh, I did too. But, you know,
worst
God love them.
Advertising ever, but
they're trying, which is, you know,
thoroughly enjoyable film.
All we can ask for.
Yeah.
The Pikes are shady people, and they want the spices. So, they want the spice.
Is there any sci-fi series that does not have this ubiquitous spice thing?
Did Firefly have spice?
God, I feel like they had something similar. Maybe.
I can't remember if Firefly did or not. I know Star Trek does.
It's just weird.
Like, I don't know why spices are so, like, that's like...
I think they all just copied Dune.
Oh, that's true. Because
Dune predates, like, all of that.
Yeah, very much so. Well, or was Dune an 80s movie?
Well, it's a book. It's a book
series. Oh, the book. That's right.
The book series is really fantastic. If you are into science fiction literature, highly recommend. It is top of the list, all-time best sci-fi novels. That series is fantastic. It's really good. I read it in, like, I want to say, like, 5th or 6th grade. And then I reread it, maybe in late high school. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, I never read them, but I saw the movie, so.
And the movies, well, the movies are, like, the height of camp.
This new one, though, looks, if y'all haven't seen the pictures for it yet, this new one looks very, like, oh boy.
It looks beautiful. I'm really interested to see where they're going to take it with this.
I am, too.
There was the 80s one that had Sting in it. I mean, how could you beat Sting?
That's very true.
And then there was I want to say it was like the late 90s, early 2000s, sci-fi series did it.
Yeah.
That delved in more to like the later books and stuff. And that was, I enjoyed it, but I'm kind of a hardcore sci-fi geek in a lot of ways. Maybe not everybody enjoyed it as much as I did.
Nah. Teach their own, right?
Yeah. Anywho.
So everyone loves the spices. And
spices are priceless. The spice,
yes,
is priceless.
So who of course dumps the shipment after people are arguing?
Oh my god.
Fucking Trace. I know.
She saw how dangerous all these people were. She knows what they want. Yeah. Oh my goodness. You poor, poor demented child.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well. So she basically fucks over everyone. Not basically. She does fuck over everyone. And because of that, they get captured and they get thrown in prison. You know, Trace and Roth, I believe, get tortured, so.
Yeah,
you know,
there's that. The only reason nobody died is because it's a kid's show.
But we do find out some very interesting things about their parents.
Yes.
We find out that their parents died during when Cad Bane broke Zero out of the detention center in season, I think, 1, that was the finale. And we find out that you know, the one like the like ship shuttle things malfunctioned and crashed into a home and killed the parents.
Yeah.
And they describe a woman of green skin and wears a hood and spoke softly. So I'm like, well, that's Luminara.
Yeah. So Luminara comes down and basically says, collateral damage. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, it's okay, because the Force willed this, or you're the one with the Force now.
It was very much like the equivalent of a real world, God has a plan.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them hate the Jedi, which, I mean, I get it.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like if an angel came down... after my parents were horribly murdered by like some weird god and angel demon war, and an angel came over to visit me and was like, sorry, it's all part of the plan.
Yeah, like, hey, hashtag our bad.
Good luck with the rest of your life.
Yeah, and Ahsoka is like, wait, the Jedi did this? Like, the Jedi?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it, you know, the Jedi in these last 8 episodes aren't painted to be like the best people.
Oh no. They're super gray and questionable.
They really aren't the best people to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're not I don't want to say they're not good people, but you know, there's a lot of conflict within the Jedi since the Clone War started. Like, do you think if like the Clone War had started, like if it hadn't started, do you think Luminara would have said that? Do you think they, or she would have been like, "Oh, let's pay for this"?
No, I think they were on that path of arrogant righteousness long before the Clone Wars.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that Sidious was behind this. I think that Sidious saw a chink in the armor and exploited it.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, the Jedi Order had its issues, it had its shortcomings, and he used that against them.
Interesting take on it. Okay. Huh. So yeah, that's why Ahsoka doesn't really reveal that she's a Jedi until the very end. Yeah. But, lo and behold, while they're trying to escape, we see three mysterious Mandalorians. We, of course, get Bo-Katan, and she's flanked by Ursa Wren, who is, of course, Sabine's mother. So that was a cool, you know, little Rebels callback to have Ursa in there.
And of course they show up and I was like, oh, finally we're getting somewhere.
Right? Like, this is, once you see them, you know, the seeds have slowly been planted for the siege episode. So it's like, okay, not too much longer now. And that's evident in the very last episode when Ahsoka does escape again and she sees a hologram. But not nice person.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear Maul name drop Crimson Dawn. So, you know that he's in charge of it. He's a drug kingpin.
Yeah. And so we're tying back into Solo and all the
little, yes,
you know, breadcrumbs that were laid there.
Yes, and there was a huge breadcrumb. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there's a huge breadcrumb in the Siege of Mandalore arc for Solo, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, no, I saw that.
Okay. Because at first I didn't know who that was, but I'm like, oh.
No. Well, I noticed the first guy, and I was like, oh, hey, it's one of those guys. And then I noticed the other guy, and I was like, ah!
Yeah. It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So...
I had to pause it, by the way.
Oh, for sure. So yeah, he says that Crimson Dawn, if you cannot, you know, control this, if you cannot control these spices, if you can't control this little thing we got going for you, we will gladly take over your operation. So he's clearly, you know, I don't know if he found it or not, but he's very much the head of Crimson Dawn right now. And, you know, Ahsoka finds out that he's on, Mandalore. So eventually they do escape. And, you know, Trace gets her ship, Rafa gets her relationship with Trace fixed or whatever, and they are meted by Bo-Katan and Ursa and saying, you know, hey, you remember me, right? I kidnapped you and your like fake boyfriend that one time on the snow planet. Cool, thanks. And we need some help. We got a common enemy. And so Ahsoka, though, like, Maul really isn't her enemy.
They're very, they have a weird,
like, he never had met her until the siege.
Oh yeah, no, he didn't know who the hell she was.
No. I mean, she knew who he was just because of,
because his reputation precedes him.
Yeah.
Our boy likes the drama.
Oh, for sure. So, like, you knew, you know, she knew him, but he did not know who the hell she was. So, it's very funny because, sorry, my cat was playing with a toy. I got a new cat, guys.
I heard it meowing earlier.
Oh, did you?
Meow, meow.
Oh, sorry. So if you're a meowing, that's just my cat. So anyway, you know, it's so they finally leave and that's the end of the arc.
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell happens with Trace and Rafa.
No.
Like, are they going to be in future stories? Are these just like one and done characters? Like, if you could, I guess if you could put them somewhere else in the universe, where would you want to put them after this?
They're very young.
Yes.
So I could see them in early Rebels.
Do you think they would help the Rebellion, or do you think they would be like, no, we're gonna save our own skin and just, you know, stick with us?
I think they'd be more gray. But like, if helping the Rebellion is helping me, then sure. But also, you know, they might be a little bit more inclined to, I think it would be like a Han Solo kind of situation.
Whoever has the most money will help out.
Yeah, but then they'd be more inclined to help just because, like, I don't know, some conscious, a little bit of a conscience kind of thing.
Okay. Okay, yeah, okay, I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
So overall, where do you place this arc?
Oof. Like 1 to 10 kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like a 5.
Okay.
Good world building.
Good world building.
Really great world building. Great, okay. Great callbacks. Nice Easter eggs. I understand what they were doing, and just, yeah, just wasn't planned very well.
Okay.
It didn't, the iteration of it wasn't great.
Yeah, okay, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, I'm giving it like a 5 as well, maybe 5.5, but all the same reasons for you, basically, and just the fact that we got more Ahsoka.
Yeah. No, Ahsoka was the saving grace of the whole thing.
That's never a bad thing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, final thoughts on this arc.
You could skip it and you'd be fine.
But yeah. Okay, that's fair. You don't really have to know anything before going into the Mandalore arc to watch this.
I mean, you assume Ahsoka winds her way back to the Clone Wars somehow, and the way it happened really wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, it, you know, we could have done without it, sure. We could have done with, like, for example, maybe the Crystal Crisis arc, which is the one where Grievous is on Utapau, mm-hmm. and they're stealing a Kyber crystal. It's a very good arc, very fun. But, you know, I'm not mad at this arc. I'm just, you know, maybe questioning a few things about it.
With so few episodes, and possibly none ever again, it falls flat.
Yeah, that's a very fair statement, and I think we should run with that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's fair. So that wraps us up for that arc, guys. You know, it was very much a love it or hate it arc. There was no in between. So just let us know what you thought about that arc as well, because we're going to be talking about the Siege of Mandalore coming up. It is the final four episodes. Tears will happen. You know, for those who haven't seen it yet, tears will happen.
Oh yeah.
You will cheer, you will scream, your mouth will be agape. And all that stuff. So we're going to be talking about, like I said, the Siege of Mandalore arc in just a moment. But until then, we gotta go to a commercial. So yeah, oh, excuse me, I burped. but anyway, yeah, so we're gonna go to a commercial, and then we're gonna be back in just a few moments. So stick with us. Okay, bye-bye.
Recently on the Heroes Podcast Network, Kaiju Curry House.
Because I'm just wondering, are Pokemon Kaiju?
They are pocket monsters. They are pocket monsters, Paul.
They're monsters, yeah, aren't they?
They are yokai, officially.
Yokai?
Yeah, so...
What's a yokai?
Screen Heroes.
If the MCU gets that, then I really think that Space Jam needs to be part of the DCEU.
Yes!
Okay, because...
they have a big Marvel versus DC crossover where Air Bud takes on Space Jam. Man, we should write for these companies.
That's what it comes, it's Air Bud versus Bugs Bunny. That's what it's right. All come down to.
One-on-one.
Yes, done. All right. And then, like, at the end, it's Galactus versus LeBron James.
And Squirrel Girl wins.
Red Shirts and Runabouts.
Something we've talked about before, and other people have, but there's so much of real-life history involved with Star Trek. From Gene Roddenberry's days, his time in the military as a bomber crewman, you know, James Doohan serving, all these people and all these real life events that have impacted things. That's very realistic of political and military leaders kind of resigning in protest at a decision they can't control.
Subscribe today at heroespodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, and more.
And we are back. Hooray! Commercials are fun. So, as you have heard before, we're doing both of the final arcs in the Clone Wars in one big episode for you guys. We just finished the Spice Girls arc. And we had thoughts on it.
Yeah. And we agree that we didn't like it that much. You know, it was...
Yeah.
Bit boring. It's not terrible. It would have been fine in like other, I don't know, other seasons, in a season longer. It's just, it felt like wasted space.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But it moved the plot. It got us where we needed to go. It was just kind of a convoluted way to get there. So, there we
yes.
go.
And for this part, we're actually recording this on May the 4th, so recording this on Monday, since that's when the final episode dropped. And, I mean, might as well give you a little bit of May the 4th news that just popped out. So Mattel is releasing 4 new dolls in their high Star Wars Couture line, one being Rey, the other being C-3PO, a Stormtrooper, and then Chewbacca. They all look very, very cute. Oh, I love the Rey.
So beautiful. The Rey is beautiful. I do find it a little bland, but
I think she kind of looks like a Greek goddess.
I was going to say, it looks very Greek goddess, but, you know, like, okay.
I'm very much here for it. I love it. It's and the fine. C-3PO one looks like a, like, 70s, like, roller rink disco, and I love it.
Yeah. I do kind of wish they went with her gray outfit instead of the white, so it didn't venture so much into the Grecian goddess thing. It's very, very pretty.
Oh, well, yeah.
But yeah, no, I love Chewbacca is fantastic.
It's a lot.
I love it so much.
The fur hat is like, what is happening?
Yeah, no, it's great.
What is this?
Stormtrooper looks great. They're all great. If I had
very cute.
All the monies, I would buy all the Barbie dolls.
Yeah, they're $100 each.
Oh.
So, I mean, if you got that kind of money, go ahead and drop it on a doll.
Right? Stimulus check, here we come.
Right. And then we also got news that the Academy Award-winning director Taika Waititi is going to direct and co-write a new Star Wars feature film for theatrical release.
So excited. He is such a fantastic fit in the Star Wars family. You know, he was great with The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to do action, he knows how to do tension, he knows how to do humor. It fits so well.
I can't wait for it. And it's also... going to be co-written by a Academy Award nominee, Christy Wilson Carnes. So it's great to get some more female writers on the team too.
Absolutely.
And then just another like little tidbit. We got more news on the Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga.
Looks very cute.
Which is episodes 1 through 9. They've been basically reworked from the ground up. You can go to any episode or any episode you want to. So it's not, you know, you have to play through 1 through 9 consecutively. You can go mix and match, whatever. There's over 500 characters to play as.
That's crazy.
And apparently there's a bunch of, like, background characters that are going to be playable and a few surprises. So I'm wondering who it's going to be. And I'm very happy to see who it's going to be.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Lego Star Wars is always a good time.
So that's happening. And then also Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order got an update for some DLC, new cosmetics, new game modes. Surprise Nothing update. In the way of story, but
content, you know. Content.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, there's more happening right now as we speak, but obviously, you know, when we record, we won't know what's going on. I know Sideshow is releasing a few new things and stuff like that, so keep an eye out for those. But let's talk The Siege of Mandalore.
Let's do it.
Let's talk it. This is the four episodes. These are the four episodes that fans were waiting for.
Yes.
And, you know, patiently waiting throughout the whole entire, you know, season, and our patience paid off.
Oh my goodness. It was so good.
Like, okay, let's just start with the first episode, because that one's, I think, one of the most emotional ones. Like, this whole arc is very emotional, but this one really kind of hits home when you think about it.
There's a couple moments that are really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, let's start out with the fact that Anakin and Obi-Wan are on the battlefield together. Again, that's very... We like seeing that. It's a great thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but this whole sequence, you get, I think, some of the best Star Wars music that has come out of the Clone Wars.
Oh, the music for these last four episodes?
Yeah, I mean, the music in general for this whole season was great, but, like, these last four episodes really just hit home.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? It's the Star Wars fanfare basically playing. And I want to petition Kevin Kiner, who did the music series for this and Rebels.
Yes.
To just, like, do the music for the movies now.
I think he would be a fantastic protege for John Williams.
Oh, for sure. Like, amazing.
Yeah. Just them working together would be very interesting.
Yeah. I absolutely love this music, and especially the last two episodes, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but the last two episodes had some great, great music and great callbacks, and just, loved it. So, yeah, this whole, you know, episode is basically leading up to Anakin seeing Ahsoka again, and, I mean, how did you feel about this episode?
I liked it a lot. I really liked it. There were some really kind of like the moments we've been waiting for. I liked the interactions, things that we were hearing from Obi-Wan. There's this one bit where Obi-Wan talks about how he won't let his feelings cloud his judgment, and I was like, oh wow, really?
Yeah, right.
Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah, where Bo-Katan's like, you know, or do you not love my sister anymore? And he's like, oh no, I still cared for her, but I can't let my feelings dictate what's going to happen. Yes.
Anakin!
Yeah. Cough, cough.
Cough, cough.
Just a side, like, you know, side eye to Anakin.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And he listened so well, like he does to, you know, so many things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I kind of liked that Ahsoka was. It wasn't necessarily brash with Anakin when first meeting him again, but, like, she's like, we don't have time for this right now. We can catch up later. Like, it wasn't the reunion I think fans were kind of hoping for with hugs and, you know, how, you know, long embraces. Like, it was quick and short.
But see, that felt appropriate to me.
I agree.
I
100% agree.
Yeah, I feel like she treated him the way I expected her to.
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, to be honest, like, if, you know, if what she went through happened to me too, I'd be like, all right, well, sup.
Yeah. Well, and she's overall jaded with all the Jedi, as she should be.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. But this whole episode was great. I loved Kenobi's line of him saying, you know, best to capture Maul because he doesn't like to stay dead. Yeah. I'm like, that's very snarky of you, sir.
Obi-Wan said you were really hard to kill.
Yeah. Like, oh boy. That's sure. And then obviously everything's interrupted when they find out that the Chancellor has been kidnapped and basically Revenge of the Sith is happening.
Yes, and it's so weird to be thrown into those events, knowing what happens, knowing how it goes down from an outsider perspective.
Like, if you rewatch Revenge of the Sith now, knowing what's happening in the background, it makes it basically almost a new movie.
Yeah, it makes it very interesting. I actually thought about that earlier. I'm like, I want to go back and rewatch Revenge of the Sith now.
I rewatched bits and pieces of it that lined up with the Clone Wars, and like just thinking like, oh, Ahsoka's off on Mandalore doing this right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's very surreal, I guess would be a word to use. So, yeah, watching Revenge of the Sith, knowing that, like I said, Ahsoka is on Mandalore, you know, and taking part of a fucking siege is like, this makes this movie so much better now.
Yeah. Well, there's all these huge events that are happening, and we're not a part of it in the movie, and it's weird. I kind of want to go back and watch Mandalore as a movie. It feels almost more interesting.
Yeah, I can, yeah. I mean, I think after this whole quarantine is over, I would love it if they showed all these four episodes, like, consecutively in a theater as, like, a big movie.
That would be amazing.
But, so, they go to the Siege of Mandalore, and did you notice a certain music cue that a bunch of fans picked up on?
Probably, but I'm not thinking about it right now.
So, when they're being attacked by the ground forces, almost the iconic music from the opening of the Battle of Coruscant plays.
Oh.
So, fans are kind of like, oh, this is lining up with the Battle of Coruscant. So, like, right now, when the Battle of Coruscant is happening, Ahsoka is, you know, on those ships landing on Mandalore.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a cool thing. Like, I hope everyone can tell that we love this arc a lot better than the previous arc, so we're going to talk about it a lot.
So, what did you think about when the Clone Troopers came out with the Ahsoka beams?
I mean, we have already seen that when Dave Filoni teased it as an animatic, you know, years ago, but I still bawled.
Oh, I chilled. It was so good.
It was, you know, it was so beautifully done, and, you know, Ahsoka's like, you know, well, they shouldn't salute me. It's, you know, Anakin saying, well, it's, you know, it's a form of pride and, you know, leadership and respect, and I'm just like, this is so good.
I just to see, the lights went off down here. What the hell? And they're back. What is happening?
You got a ghost. It's the Force spirit of Palpatine. He's with you.
That was weird. Anyway, just to...
We're going to keep that part in. I don't care.
Just to see how much respect and love that they have for her, knowing what's coming and what's coming really fast.
Yeah, Dave Filoni's kind of a douchebag when he plays with your emotions like this.
He should be working for Pixar.
Like, it's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a beautiful scene. Also, you know, when Anakin gives her her lightsabers back.
Yeah, well, right after Ahsoka tells him, like, it is about Palpatine.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, here, I made these, you know, I made improvements, and it's the blue blades. She has blue blades now.
I love it.
And, you know, it shows a sign of respect, you know, for him to her, because he kept those for that long. Like, he, you know, kept those and hoped that he would see her again and hope that he could give them back to her. And that's, like, just really, really sweet and very, very sad.
Yeah.
It's sweet and sad.
It's crazy how fast it goes downhill from there.
Oh, yeah. Basically, after, you know, her duel with Maul, everything is downhill from there.
Yeah.
So they land, and we actually get a preview of two characters, one that was first seen in Rebels and the other seen in the Sons of Dathomir arc, the comic book, and Gar Saxon is there, who challenges Sabine to a duel in Rebels. It's the same guy.
Mm.
Obviously much older in Rebels.
Yeah.
But it's fun seeing him there. Because, you know, we kind of wondered where he would be. Because, you know, we saw him in the Son of Dathomir arc in the comic book, but we didn't know if he'd be really participating in this. And, of course, he does. So, you know, they land, they take the city, and then they go through these, I guess, what they're called, the sewers, right?
I guess is what it was? I didn't really get, yeah. I knew they were underground or something, but I didn't...
It's like sewers or underground, something like that, and then they find Maul.
Yeah.
And he's very pissed off that Ahsoka is here and not Obi-Wan.
He's like, who the hell are you, and why did they send you?
Right, like, who is this... Why are you orange? Why are you so orange, girl?
Why are you so orange, girl?
That's a Drag Race reference, if anyone else catches on to that, by the way. Girl, why you look so fucking orange? So, yeah, he's very upset that Kenobi's not there. And let's just talk about Maul just for a second in this arc. Because I knew he was going to be in, you know, one or two episodes, but I didn't realize... like how big of a player he was.
Yeah, no, he has a very heavy presence.
Like,
this is as much his arc as it is Ahsoka's.
Well, it's funny because did you see? It's on Twitter where fans are like, why is Maul in this animated series? Like, he died. I'm like, oh, sweetie.
Oh honey, catch up.
Yeah. And like, this isn't real, right? I'm like, no, it's canon. Deal with it.
How did you miss the return of Maul? I mean, I guess they didn't see Solo either.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's to still see people go like, why is Maul back? It's like, where have you been?
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's very funny. And when you think about it, Maul and Ahsoka, at this point in their lives, are kind of cut from the same cloth.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They've
both felt like they've kind of been betrayed.
They've both been abandoned.
Yeah.
They're both, I don't want to say kindred spirits, but...
they're both trying to survive.
Yes, and they are both, like I said, the parallels between them are significant. And I get that's why Dave had Maul be the one to fight her. And...
what a battle.
Oh, boy.
What a battle.
Like, the fact that they had Ray Park come back to do the motion capture...
and it shows.
Yeah, like, you know, they did great fights in the Clone Wars in seasons 1-6 without the motion capture, but that motion capture adds just, you know, a little bit of oomph.
Yeah. And, you know, he is, like, when he goes off about Sidious's grand plan and how he knows something's going down, but he doesn't know exactly what it is because he wasn't privy to that, and how betrayed he still is by all of that.
Yeah.
The voice acting is so incredible.
Oh, Sam Witwer did an amazing job.
Such a fantastic job. Just throughout these last four episodes, his voice acting is phenomenal.
But then I also have to give a quick shout out to Lauren Mary Kim, who also did. So Ahsoka was also mo-capped as well.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so they had to find someone that could, you know, stand up to Ray Park's moves, and Lauren Mary Kim is also the stunt double for the armorer in The Mandalorian, so she did the fight scene in that one as well.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, so she's had her hands in Star Wars for a little bit, and a huge shout-out to both of them. Lauren Mary Kim did an amazing job fighting as Ahsoka, and, you know, obviously Ray Park is Ray Park, so...
yeah.
You can't get much more Maul than him.
No.
So it was great to see him reprise Maul one more time. Is it the last time? I don't know, but I hope not. So this whole fight was just like, it reminded me a lot of the prequel fights. It was very fast, lots of flips, lots of kicks.
Very cool. Lots of anybody could fall at any kind of moment, sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it wasn't like that. Was one of the one things that I thought was lacking in the sequel trilogy were the fights.
Yeah,
like it wasn't as dynamic and big as the prequels.
They were more. I want to say they were more on a personal level. They were like a closer, more tight in kind of filming.
Okay, I can see that.
You got more of the emotional conflict between Kylo and Rey.
Yeah.
So I think that's the differences we're seeing.
It makes sense. It's just, you know, I would like to see a little bit more from the sequels. But anyway, this whole fight was great. The music was great during it. I loved seeing, there was that one shot where the glass breaks and they do kind of like a circle pan around Maul and Ahsoka.
Yeah.
That was the best shot of the series.
It was beautiful. Absolutely stunning animation.
Like, the lighting crews for this one, the sound effects crews, the animators, they really, like, took their game and multiplied it by 10.
Oh, yeah.
And then probably, like, divided that by, like, 17. Because it was amazing.
I was absolutely stunned into silence at how beautiful the animation looked.
Oh, for sure. And I love the dialogue between them, too, because I loved that Maul knew what Anakin was going to become.
Oh, yeah. And he's
and
like,
this, he it kind of makes Rebels different now.
Oh, yeah. And he has this idea that I think he sees them, like you were saying, they're kind of cut from the same cloth, almost. Like, they're orphans of the people who brought them up. The people, you know, the people they trusted. And I almost feel like he thinks that the only way they can survive is with each other.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it doesn't, put everything else aside, it doesn't matter. If we want to survive the shit that's going down in the entire galaxy right now, we have to do it together.
And Ahsoka was going to join him, like, fully.
Yeah.
And then she asked, you know, what do you want with Anakin? And he wanted Anakin there to snuff out Anakin and Obi-Wan at the same time so he could regain his place by his master.
Yeah.
He knew what Anakin was going to become. And when he told her, obviously she didn't believe him.
Of course not.
But that makes, you know, her, I don't know if it's denial that you see her in Rebels, if she still doesn't know who Vader really is. Or if she, you know, has that in the back of her mind for this whole entire time, you know, all these years.
Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't lie. He told her the truth, and she didn't believe it.
Or she didn't want to. I mean, why, you know, just like Luke, why would you want to believe that about someone you care about?
Exactly.
Or hypothetically care about.
And so, you know, they have this huge battle, and eventually it leads up to, like, the part, the top dome part, I guess, is what you call it. And that was really cool. A lot of fans were kind of pissed that he didn't, like, cut off both the beams and just said goodbye, but
I don't think he wanted to.
Yeah, he likes to taunt her.
He liked to taunt. He wanted to give her, I think, a chance. It was another great Star Wars join me and we'll rule the galaxy together moment.
Yeah, those are always very fun. And, you know, doesn't work out for him. And he loses to her. And his last, like, basically people begging for him to kill him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, yelling and screaming bloody murder for the clones or Ahsoka to kill him.
Oh,
and he's saying that everyone is going to die in this fire.
We're all going to burn. We're all going to die. And I was like, whoa, chills.
That was super dark. And apparently it was like a last minute thing they added in as well.
Yeah, that, just so much emotion in his voice. It was very, very good. Very.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how these four episodes had some of the best writing, and the previous arc, the Spice Girls arc, really, the writing wasn't the best.
No.
But it was still written by, like, I'm pretty sure all of them were written by Dave.
It's so funny. It, like I said, you know, earlier in this episode, it's just such a bipolar TV series sometimes.
Right.
You're like, how did these two moments come out of the same season, just a few episodes from each other. It's very, very strange.
Yeah.
But let's backtrack a second for some interesting little Easter eggs. I'm sure several people noticed. Right when we come back to Maul, and he's talking with the Syndicate. They're on the holopads. And they're basically going into hiding. There's two great Easter eggs there.
Yes, talk about them, please.
Yes. So you'll notice is a Feline, who, if you were a big fan of the early EU stuff, was one of like the big crime bosses, which was Prince Shizor, who were these really cool lizard, almost like lizard, like humanoid alien people.
With like samurai ponytails.
With samurai ponytails, yeah, and very, very cool kind of. Yeah, I guess they're like Middle East Asian inspired wear, but I don't know. They're very, very interesting species, very interesting arc with them in the EU, and it is not Prince Shizor.
No, it is not.
No, but it is. It's probably as close as we'll get to him. So that was pretty cool. And then, of course, over on the opposite side of him was...
It was Dryden Voss.
Yeah! So that was pretty cool. So we get to see, you know, like, these legends of extra content from Solo and from EU or coming back. You know, making their first appearances, basically, would be their first full appearances. So that was very cool.
Those were two... very, very fun cameos in there. You know, it's one of those, you know, blink and you'll miss it kind of cameos too. So yeah. Both you and I had to go back and rewatch it. We're like, wait a minute, was that what we thought that was?
So I saw the Feline and I was like, there's no way that's Shizor, but that's really cool. And so I paused it and that's when I noticed Dryden.
Yeah, it's very kind of like, it's, you know, again, that Solo connection. They want to keep it strong.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, you know, Solo was a fantastic, really underrated, fun movie.
Oh, agreed.
And it dropped a lot of canon.
It did, and I like how they still play with it, and it's very fun for them to, you know, include it too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so basically Maul is captured, and this is the episode when I knew it was going to hurt almost the most. Which is the Order 66 episode.
Oh my god. And you know, what's interesting is because there was this calmness. Do you notice that?
Yes.
This very, very calmness before it happened. I just kept thinking, like, this is right before, like, when you're outside right before a storm comes in. It was eerie. It was almost eerie.
It was very, again, Kevin Kiner with that music and Dave Filoni with the, you know, executive directing and, you know.
There was a fantastic use of silence in this episode.
Oh, for sure.
I really appreciated that. It was, you know, the Force visions that you know, that overwhelming feeling of what's happening, the way it hit her. It was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. I loved also... Can we talk about how Maul just, like, imprisoned in this, like, cube?
Oh, my God. The Maul cube.
It's very good. It's very cool. And I love, you know, the little moment between Bo Katan and Ahsoka, you know.
Yes.
With them parting ways. You know, and Bo has Mandalore now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pick up her story again in Rebels, but, you know, right now she has Mandalore to deal with, and... You know, it's a great way to see her off because we know kind of what happens with her in Rebels, but still, it's a nice, you know, little send-off for her.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... I did not realize that Order 66 for Ahsoka was going to take place on a fucking ship.
Well, because it's a bit of a retcon. Because in the book, she's still a Mandalore.
That's what I thought.
When Order 66 goes down. Yeah, she's still a Mandalore. So that's actually a retcon. But it works.
For sure it works.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It almost makes it even more terrifying because you're on a ship full of clones.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think what really struck me, you know, first in this whole sequence of events that started to happen was how I felt like maybe that's not what was happening, but how Rex was almost fighting the programming from the very beginning.
Like, from when he gets the transmission, or...
Yeah. From, like...
Oh, for sure.
That switch is on. It's like he's physically fighting that urge.
Did you not see the tear come down his face?
Oh, I missed that. I saw him clutch something, and, like...
Yeah, no. When he pulled out his guns, a tear comes down his face.
No, I missed that.
Yeah.
By the way,
if you go look at the Star Wars memes right now, it's very, very funny. Because, you know, there's the meme of Rex with the tear saying, you know, run, find fives. And then there's a picture of Cody down below, and there's some, I think it's like, I can't remember what show he's on, but what's the show that Danny DeVito's on right now? Like, Philadelphia something, right?
Oh, It's Always Sunny in Philly?
Yeah, that one. And it's the meme of him, like, with the two guns, and it's like, and then I started blasting, and it's just Cody. And that's, yeah, Cody had, like, no remorse. He's like, all right, shoot him.
Yeah.
Rex was the one clone that I think fought it the most. Everyone else just like was like, okay, they die. Yeah.
No, it was like an absolute light switch in them. It just
yeah. But it's very funny to see that meme where Cody's just like, kill them all, and Rex is like, I can't do this.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
It's very, very funny. But yeah, so Rex has a tear streaming down his face, and he tells Ahsoka to go find Fives, and he carries out the order. He tries to kill her.
Yeah.
A lot of fans didn't think that, you know, they would have him do that, but he shot at her a number of times. He tried to kill her.
Yeah, no, he got, you know, he went through with it.
And by the way, the music that plays when she's being attacked, it's the Anakin's Dark Deeds on the Episode 3 soundtrack, and I was just like, oh my god, I cried, and I had chills.
Yeah. I think it was especially chilling and heartbreaking after that conversation that Ahsoka and Rex had.
Yes.
About how, yeah, like how they, he almost regrets the war. He wished there wasn't a war. You know, but the politics behind war and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But fully realizes it and acknowledges that he and his brothers wouldn't exist if it weren't for the war.
And then Ahsoka says she wouldn't have had, you know, a great friend. I'm like, okay.
No. I was like, oh man, if you die, I'm gonna...
Right?
I'm gonna
like,
live.
Oh no. And we didn't even talk about, real quick, the fact that they cut in the Episode 3 dialogue from the Chancellor's office attack.
Oh yeah, wasn't that great?
And then I liked how Matt Lanter, who voices Anakin in the Clone Wars, he redubbed some of Hayden's lines, so it was his voice on top of Hayden's voice.
Yeah, it was so seamless.
Yeah, as like an echoey kind of thing, but it was very cool to hear, you know, Ian McDiarmid again, you know, saying unlimited power.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little fun callback to Episode 3, and so, yeah, so Order 66 happens, and Rex still has his chip in there, and so Ahsoka, you know, fights like hell to try and get it out of him, and finally, you know, succeeds, but she takes, you know, it's rough.
That was an insurmountable fight. How do you fight an entire destroyer worth of troopers who are literally all against you?
You send Maul out to do the chaos.
Right? Oh my god.
Which, like, I think his hallway scene kind of beats Vader's in Rogue One.
It was pretty awesome.
Like, he cuts someone in half with a panel. He cuts someone's arm off by using a door.
Good at chaos.
And that's all without a lightsaber, mind you. This is all just him using, like, his pure, like, rage and force energy.
Like, give me a chance. And I was like, oh, come on, you don't need a saber.
Yeah, no, you're fine, sir. At one point, I thought she was going to give him one of her sabers, but...
So too, I think it was meant to seem that way, but
I think the full carnage was way better than seeing him with a lightsaber, because I think with a lightsaber almost would have been overkill.
Oh yeah,
if that makes sense.
Oh, he would have just taken over the ship.
Yeah. So she sends out Maul to do some chaos and cause a distraction, which works beautifully. And she finally gets Rex alone, stuns him, takes him to a med unit to try and remove the chip.
Oh, the droids were so good.
There's Gigi, there's Cheep Cheep, and then there's R7.
I have such a soft spot for droids.
And Cheep Cheep was voiced by Dave Filoni.
Aw.
I know. So he got one little, because he's also voiced Chopper too.
Yeah.
So giving him be another droid was very fun. But I also love the callback to Rogue One when Ahsoka says, you know, I'm one with the Force is with me.
Oh, I know.
Because once she started saying that, I was like, oh my god. Oh my god.
That was so good. It was so good.
There's a lot of stuff in these episodes that have to do with the movies, and it was such great Easter eggs for us fans, because yeah. I freaked out when she started saying that.
Yeah.
And she found the chip, got the chip out. You know, Rex is like, hey, sorry. Like, kind, he's very kind of nonchalant about it.
Yeah, well,
but he's also like kind of just dazed and confused too, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot happening that he's trying to process. A lot.
No, I agree. And
so then they have to try to make it off the ship.
Yes, and this is the last episode that we're coming up on. It's called Victory and Death. Ugh. And there is victory and there's death. You know, Maul takes out the hyperdrive reactor, so the whole ship basically blows up in orbit.
In hyperspace.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That was
like, it's really, really cool.
I was thinking, like, in a real life situation, if any of that were realistic, how incredibly terrifying that would be to happen.
Oh, yeah, I would be just like in the corner going, all right, well, we're gonna die, goodbye.
And the destroyer is yanked out of hyperspace, and it's just smoldering, and it's got debris.
It's so beautiful, though.
It's gorgeous animation. Very cool, very, very frightening to look at.
Yes, and those are always my favorite destroyers. I love the Venator Star Destroyers. They're very cool looking. So, you know, to see it, you know, we've seen them break apart and be destroyed before in the Clone Wars, but nothing like this.
Not like this. It's a very, very unique thing.
Yes, and so they get caught in the moon's gravitational pull, and so they're like, well, we gotta skedaddle.
Yeah, so they're trying to get out because the destroyer's going down. There's literally nothing you can do to save it. It's falling
apart. Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's your SOL.
The atmosphere. Yeah. So they're trying to get out, and everybody's against them, and they pull the old, I've got this prisoner.
Yes, which is very, like, hello, kind sir, I have a prisoner here, I'm going to take them to the prison.
And, you know, it was, it's logical.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was totally logical. Rex was right. She's not a Jedi.
No, yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, oh, that does make sense.
Like, that's a loophole that's technically correct, and I kept, like, there was part of me that really, really wanted them to be like, huh, okay, sure,
right,
okay, never mind, like, that, like, would somehow override their urge to destroy her. I really wanted that to happen so that it would just be like Ahsoka and Rex and the 501st somehow escape Order 66 and go on, you know, their own little adventures secretly in the background,
right,
everything else that is happening in the galaxy.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna take this one away now. Goodbye.
That would have been so nice.
That would have been, but also, like, kind of still semi anticlimactic.
Yeah, that's gonna be my little fan fiction.
Yes. but yeah, so, you know, they're like, you know, Jesse is like, okay, well, nope, now you're under arrest because it's treason that you're not shooting her right now. So.
Yeah.
They all open fire, and Ahsoka before asked Rex to stun, put his blasters to stun because she didn't want to kill any of them. Like, even these troopers who are trying to murder her and Rex,
mm-hmm.
she still has that hope and that goodness in her saying, you know, I know it's not their fault.
Yeah. Well, there was a
like, they should not die because of this.
Yeah, that very touching moment right before they actually went out and pulled the prisoner shenanigans, where they're talking about that, and Rex is like, you know, basically like, forget them.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care. They literally don't care. They are programmed to kill you. I've been there. I was there just 5 minutes ago. I know what they're thinking. You can't stop them. This is all or nothing. It's us or them. And she's like, no, it's not. You know, I love these people. These people are my family. I'm not going to kill them if I don't have to. And
you know, when she took off his helmet and said, you know, you're a good soldier, Rex.
and he's crying, and I was crying so much, and I'm crying now.
It's a rough episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's rough, but in a good way. That didn't sound sexual at all. Anyway. I just thought about that. I'm like, oh, that was out loud. So they do the whole kind of bait and switch thing with the prisoner, which clearly does not work to their advantage. So, you know, They start firing. There's a firefight. And, you know, she notices Maul trying to hijack their ride. Which, that's not very nice.
Yeah. And he's like, yo, this is what you wanted. You wanted chaos. Here you go.
He literally goes, yeah, here's your chaos. Now take it. And throws all these crates at her. And there's a bit of music in there that I absolutely love, where there's three bits of music in this whole thing that I love. One is when the hangar doors open and you see the planet, because that music very much is giving me like Blade Runner vibes.
Oh yeah. No, that was very Blade Runner. You're right. That's a good comparison.
The music when she tries to stop Maul, because it's a mix of the Force theme and her theme, and it's really, really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at the very end when she has all the helmets of the clones on the spikes.
Oh, that music was so good.
It reminded me a lot of Blade Runner again.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's John Williams, so I can see him taking influence from other Williams' work.
Did John Williams do that?
I'm almost positive.
Did he do Blade Runner?
Hang on.
I didn't think he did.
I thought he did. Maybe I'm thinking of... Wait, maybe that was... what's his face?
No, the music was by someone named Vangelis.
Yeah. I could have sworn... Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the guy who did the original score for Blade Runner, but it sounded very much like Blade Runner music.
It was very interesting. Yeah. Good influence no matter what.
Yes. Eventually, Ahsoka has, you know, she cuts the floor out of her and Rex, which, again, a great musical cue right there. And they drop down below.
She always does really cool, interesting things with her lightsabers.
She does. And sadly, the clones destroy the droids, so they can, you know.
Oh my god, I was like, no, but there was no way.
That was rough. I'm like, why am I sad about this? Why am I sad?
Because they're the dogs of the Star Wars universe.
They are, and they just, just blew their faces off, basically.
Yeah. I knew that there was no way that the droids were going to survive.
Oh, no, for sure. So, eventually they find a Y-Wing that is dry-docked that they can take. And, you know, the Rex is being shot at. He takes a few shots. Ahsoka takes a few shots in her. And, you know, eventually they break off. The ship is breaking apart.
She gets out.
Ahsoka gets flung out.
Yeah, she's just literally flying amongst the debris.
Yeah. She's free falling. Rex is at least like in a Y-Wing starting it up and stuff, but she's just like, goodbye.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments where I thought there's no way she's going to make it.
Well, I mean, obviously we know she was going to make it because of Rebels, but I'm like, how is she going to make it?
I meant like she wasn't going to make it into the ship.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. But we know she's alive.
Yeah, or that I thought he, in continuously trying to get back and get her into the ship, was going to get hit by debris or something.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But she makes it. She makes it in. They make it in. They pull away from the ship. And
yes, the ship explodes. It crash lands. And basically from them leaving or getting blown out of the ship to the very credits, there's not a single piece of dialogue spoken.
Nothing. It's not.
The last piece of dialogue we hear is the the captain and the lieutenant in the ship saying it's going to break apart, and then they die. So Actually, the last line spoken in this series is by Dee Bradley Baker, which is kind of cool. So unless you count some suspicious breathing, which we'll talk about in a second. we see Ahsoka in this gray cloak. And there's all these clones, their helmets are on a spike. These are the dead clones that she did not want to kill.
Yep, she's sitting amongst a graveyard.
And she drops her saber.
Purposefully.
Do you think that she dropped it to indicate that oh, she died as well, or do you think she dropped it for another reason?
Oh, no, I think she dropped it as a breadcrumb.
Yeah. To be like, if anyone finds this, I'm dead.
I think she left it as a breadcrumb. I think she wanted people to know that she was involved in the buryings.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought that she was dropping it to make them think like she died in the crash.
No, I don't think so. I think she left it on purpose. I think she absolutely left it on purpose to be found.
Like as a sign, like, hey, I'm alive. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what do you guys think? Who's listening? Tweet us at Echo Station Cast and let us know what you guys thought of the symbolism of her dropping her lightsaber. So let us know. But yeah, she's standing amongst, you know, the mass grave of clones. She drops her lightsaber.
Which Rex have just done. Have just buried them all.
They just buried. Yes. By the way, notice that she's all in gray, right?
Yeah.
And when we last see Ahsoka, she's all in white. Do you think it's a Gandalf parallel?
I was going to be like, well, Ahsoka the white.
I mean, she's Ahsoka the gray right there, and then she becomes Ahsoka the white.
Yes, I've seen a parallel to that before.
I'm just saying. and there's a staff involved in the very end. There's a thing.
Hey, Rey did it too.
That, yes. I mean, I didn't think about that. Oh boy.
Yeah. Rey the white.
There's lots of Lord of the Rings parallels in here, guys. Watch out. so, you know, yeah, they, you know, presumably take off to go on their next survival adventure. And then we cut to an undetermined amount of time when there's a bunch of snow and a Imperial shuttle with a bunch of stormtroopers. They're on the planet with probe droids.
And these are Rebellion era stormtroopers.
Yes, this is very much like in the era of Rebels.
This is Imperial stormtroopers. These are not stormtroopers.
And were you at all just like gobsmacked that when you saw him on screen again?
Oh my goodness. And did you notice the animation?
Yeah.
It was paintings.
Yeah, the backgrounds, you mean?
Yeah.
They're matte paintings, yeah.
How beautiful was it?
They were, yes, it was gorgeous. Because looking at it, I'm like, that doesn't look like a traditional 3D. I'm like, oh, because it's not.
It wasn't. It was beautiful. The contrast between that and the 3D animated characters and then the howling of the, you know, the wind and the landscape and the desolate music. It was absolutely
devastating. Oh, it was, yeah. So, presumably, you know, they find this crashed ship from the Old Republic era, and they send their best Sith to investigate. And they, of course, send Darth Vader. And I was... So, you remember how I told you before that something got spoiled for me?
Mm-hmm.
This was it.
Oh.
That he was in it. So I'm like, oh my god, there's a time jump.
I don't know, I kind of expected somehow there to be a Vader appearance, but I didn't expect such a time jump. That was interesting.
I didn't expect it at all, so that was very shocking to me, and unfortunately got ruined for me, but whatever.
That sucks.
I know. So, you know, we see him pick up her lightsaber. It has a bunch of snow on it, and it looks also rusted as well, so there's some significant time goes by since this happened.
We don't know what
and he ignites it. See, I think it's before his season 2 appearance in Rebels.
Maybe.
Because in season 2 in Rebels, you know, Ahsoka's reaching out to find out who this person is in the TIE fighter, and, you know, he says, so the apprentice lives.
Yes.
So I think it's before that. Not too long before that, but I think it's before that.
No, that makes sense.
So he, you know, picks up her lightsaber, he ignites it, and then he looks on the distance, and then he sees her little bird, her little friend. You know, he doesn't really know what that means, I'm sure, but we as fans know, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with the last scene, it's him walking away with her lightsaber and the visor and the reflection of one of Ahsoka's trooper's helmets. And that is how the series ends.
That's it. Perfect ending.
Like, are you ready to say goodbye to the Clone Wars?
Um,
That's a big question.
Yes and no. If this is it, I'm satisfied. I think that was brilliant. It was a brilliant ending. I mean, that was some Emmy award winning stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Just breathtaking. Animation, music, cinematographics, dialogue, direction, all of it was perfection.
Oh, without question.
Yeah. I'm not ready to be done with Ahsoka.
No.
I'm not ready to be done with Rex. But the Clone Wars, I think I'm satisfied.
I am too. I mean, I would love to see the other episodes that didn't get produced somehow make the light to screen. I would love to see that sometime.
Sure.
But, you know, for a series finale that, you know, the Clone Wars ends when the Clone War ends, and basically the Clone War ended.
Yep.
And, you know, it makes sense, and it's a very sad, somber ending.
Yeah.
But there's also that little glimmer of hope. With when we see Ahsoka's companion, her little bird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this whole season was great, you know, despite some shortcomings with a few episodes here and there. But overall, how would you rate this arc?
Oh, 10/10.
Okay. Yeah. Same here.
Absolutely. This is some of the best Star Wars that's ever been put to film.
I agree. It was absolutely great. Like we said, the music was great, the acting was great, animation, lighting, character models, textures, you name it, everything was upped and, you know, basically pushed to the brink of their limits. And I'm gonna miss it.
Yep.
You know, I'm gonna miss it for sure, because, you know, that's, you know, what started in 2000, I think, what, 8, right?
Yes.
2007, 2008, and finally ending in 2020, that's, you know, amazing.
A lot of time.
It's a lot. Going back, do you think that this arc was better than, like, seasonal arcs from, like, 1 through 6, or just, do you think this was a great arc for this season?
I think it's one of the best arcs of the entire series.
Okay, because I'm on the same page as you.
It absolutely, I mean, this is what we were building towards.
Yeah.
And it doesn't let it down at all. And it enhances all of the prior canon.
Oh, for sure. And it, you know, expands on future canon, too.
Yeah. And everything that was, you know, as small as it was, everything that was retconned was for the better.
Yep.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's still very fresh, obviously, with us, because it just released today. Today is May the 4th.
Yeah.
But let us know what you guys thought about it, because, you know, I've seen a lot of opinions on there about this arc, but I don't think I've really seen bad opinions.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I did have a thought to know what you thought about it. Do you think Ahsoka blames herself for the clone trooper's death? Because I could see her thinking that she's at fault for the 501st dying in this crash, because she...
Oh, I 100% can see her thinking that.
Because she unleashed Maul.
Yeah. Well, they died, the ones that she buried were... That wasn't really Maul's doing. That was more so, well, I guess, inadvertently, because he made the ship crash.
Crashed the ship. If he hadn't ripped apart.
I see what you mean. Okay.
The hypercore.
I got you.
The warp core. Sorry, wrong series.
The warp core.
If he hadn't ripped apart the hyperdrive, they wouldn't have crashed. I mean, maybe they could have gotten out of the ship, you know, otherwise.
Right. Well, they did destroy all the escape pods, so.
Yeah. Well, but they could have gotten out otherwise.
Well, yeah, like ship.
Ship. And the, you know, and left the troopers to whatever was going to happen to them. So I can see her feeling guilt.
Oh, I can too. I can, you know, that's why she, I think that's kind of why she also throws down her lightsaber. She's like, I'm done. I've caused too much, you know, shit.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna, it's the Jedi collateral damage.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. But so, like I said, guys, don't forget to tweet us at Echo Station Cast, because we want to know what your guys' thought is on this, not only the Spice Girls arc, but also this final Siege of Mandalore arc. And then let us know what you guys did for May the 4th be with you. What do you guys, so what are you doing in this Star Wars day, by the way? What are you doing?
I watched the Clone Wars. I watched the gallery on The Mandalorian, which is super fascinating. Which
was very good.
Definitely recommend. Really entertaining. Learned some really cool stuff. And now I'm going to eat dinner and watch The Rise of Skywalker.
Yay! Yes, The Rise of Skywalker is on Disney Plus right now.
Yes, it is.
I started watching a little bit of The Rise of Skywalker before I started recording with you, and then I rewatched the final episode of Clone Wars to, you know, reinvigorate? No, that's not the word, Ian. Oh boy, what's the, you know what word I'm talking about?
Reinvigorate?
There we go, there's the word.
Ta-da!
We also posted on our Twitter our Star Wars cosplays of Chris as Mara Jade and me as my Twi'lek Senator. Yeah. So go check those out, like I said, at Echo Station Cast. Give us a follow as well. We're, like, think, like, 5 followers away from 100.
Yay!
So, like, if you can get, like, 5 or 10 of your friends to come follow us on Twitter, we would so much love that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be fun. Because we want those 5.
Yes.
at least. We want, you know, obviously more than that, but, yeah, so let us get your follows, please. We need them. We want to thrive on them.
We'll follow back.
Yeah, we'll follow back. Or at least we'll, you know, attempt to. Also, real quick, because we couldn't get this episode out prior, we got a new a review on iTunes from a fellow podcast that follows us called Pete. They're called Pizza and Parsecs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so Dave from Pizza and Parsecs gave us a great review on the iTunes. So he said, you know, looking for an unfiltered and authentic take on the galaxy far, far away. Definitely recommend Chris and Ian. These knowledgeable fans bring a tasteful blend of charming, energetic banter with insightful and unique Star Wars content. So much fun to listen to. So wow. Thank you, Dave.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Yes. That's very, very sweet. Thank you so much.
I'll have to add Pizza Parsecs to my listening.
Yes. They also shout us out on their Witches and Monsters, I believe it's called. Yeah, Witches and Monsters episode for our Ventress Spotlight.
Oh, cool.
So, thank you for that. And like I said, don't forget, guys, you can also shout us out on iTunes. Leave us a review, and we will then do a shout-out for you guys on our podcast.
Yep, yep.
So, all the shout-outs. Shout-out for a shout-out.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So, this is it for our Clone Wars wrap-up.
That's it.
That's so sad. You know, it was a good ride.
It was a great journey. It really was.
Yeah, totally. But until next time, guys, may the Force be with you. Have a great May the 4th. Have a great, you know, rest of your week. Stay inside. Stay healthy. Stay happy. And we will see you later.
May the 4th be with you.
Bye.